You can open your Bible to Acts chapter 27, if you would. Acts chapter 27. So you see the title on the screen and the title on your paper, too. The Road to Rome. But if you look on the screen, this week I put a ship up there instead of a road, because in chapter 27, that's where Paul's at. He's on a ship, and it's in the middle of a Euroclidon. It's in the middle of a terrible, terrible storm that they encountered as they were sailing to Rome, as he had appealed to stand before Caesar, and they got on one ship, and then they had transferred to another ship. They are now in the section that we're in. They're on a grain ship, is what they're on. So the grain ship is on the way to Rome, and there's 276 people on the ship. Paul with him. He's got two other believers that was completely unheard of, that any of the prisoners would be able to have any kind of companions with them. But Paul has Aristarchus with him from Macedonia, and he's got Luke. And we know Luke's there because Luke writes this from the perspective that he's on the ship. So they're in the middle of this storm. They're dealing with this storm. And so this God sees this storm as so very important in the events that happen here, because it covers all of chapter 27 and the first 16 verses of chapter 28 to give us the details as Luke records the details of the storm. So one of the things that we have learned so far coming through this is that storms are a part of our lives. They come, God uses them, there's none of them that are wasted. We live in a world, we live in a fallen world, and so the storms are going to come, and God permits them to come into our lives, and they're there for multiple reasons. They can be a chastening in our lives. They can be something to give us redirection in life, to turn us, and sometimes it takes a storm to turn us to where we need to go. Sometimes it is just the refining of our faith as we go through the storms to teach us. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight as we go through the storms. So last week, we stopped right about verse 25 of Acts chapter 27. But I want to start you on the introduction tonight at the top of the paper, because I want to review a little bit of what we looked at last week, because then we're going to bounce from that to something very similar, but at the same time different. So watch what I have here. And before I start, let me say this. What we have tonight, just basic, practical, spiritual truths that apply to our everyday lives. Nothing theological to the point that it's something brand new. That's not what we're looking for. These are just simple lessons that will help us get through very similar times in our life. So watch what I have here. Last week, we ended our study in Acts 27. We were right in the middle of the storm with Paul and all who were on the ship heading to Rome. God had reassured Paul that no one would die, but they would experience shipwreck on an island. So as we ended last week, we looked at three anchors that Paul had to survive a storm, and these are vitally important. First of all, he had the anchor of identity. Watch verse 23. I'll just back up here and read a couple of these. As he's talking to the crew, if we back up, let me read 20. I think we're going to get this again tonight, but verse 20 says this, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope, I want you to see this, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That's how bad it was. So no sun or stars, and you got to understand, they had no GPS then. So the stars was what they went by whenever they were sailing. But they are in the middle of this storm, and they are at the mercy of the storm because of the ship that they're on. The ship that they're on, being a large grain ship, had one square sail is all it had. It didn't have a rudder, although you're going to see the word rudder as we go down through this. But what it refers to was they would put two oars out the back, and they would use those oars to try to steer. But because it was a ship that only had one square sail on it, it could not tack in the wind. And I should have got the map back up to show you. That's an interesting thought. Scott brought that up last week, or this Sunday, or maybe it was last week to me, the fact that that ship, even though they could not tack with it, in the way the wind was blowing out of the northwest, they were sailing right into the wind, and they still made it to Rome, because God's hand was on the boat. That's why. God's hand was the one that was steering them, because he had promised Paul that he would get to Rome. So anyhow, so whenever you come to verse 23, what I wanted you to understand was this, that they're in a situation where they're out of hope. They're out of hope. They've got nothing. And they don't even believe, they doubt they're even going to live. Verse 23 says this, it says, "For there stood by me this night," this is Paul talking, "an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Just stop for a moment. So how did Paul survive the storm? Number one was the anchor of identity. He knew who he belonged to. He was God's property, is exactly who he was. So are we, if we know Christ as our Savior. We belong to God. It's his responsibility to get us through the storms of life. The next anchor that he had was the anchor of service. 23 again. It says this, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." He was on a mission. He was on a mission, and God had promised him that he would get to Rome to stand before Caesar. So he's on a mission. That's an anchor for him. It's like he can relax and say, you know what? Sure, this storm's really bad, but we're going to get to where we're going because God has promised me that I am God's property. So with us, you know, each and every one of us, we are here for such a time as this. We are here on a mission from God. And when our work is done, then our life will be over. Revelation chapter 11, we looked at that last week with the two witnesses that'll show up in the middle, in the beginning of the tribulation period, and they will die in the middle of the tribulation period after their work is done. The Antichrist will kill them, not until their work is done. Then number three was the anchor of trust. I keep forgetting to flip this. So you had the anchor of identity, the anchor of service, and the anchor of trust. 23 through 25, it says this. I'll read 24. We already read 23. Saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that he shall be even as it was, that it shall be even as it was told me." So there was the anchor of trust. He believed the word of God. God had given him his word, and so he believed that. So those three anchors, they basically sustained him in the middle of the storm. Those three anchors. He belonged to God. He was there on a mission, and he had a mission to carry out. So he knew that he's going to make it through this storm anyhow. And then the anchor of trust. He trusted in the word of God. Those three anchors will stabilize us in the middle of the storms of life. Let me go on. As we continue today, we will finish this chapter. We'll finish out chapter 27. And we shall see how to survive a shipwreck. Now, I put that down, and I want you to understand this. So we face storms in life, but sometimes we also face, I'll go further and say, we get into shipwrecks, where we get into situations that are out of our control, and things basically will collapse around us. That happens. That happens to many people. So I'm going to call those shipwrecks. So tonight we're going to see how to survive a shipwreck. Let me go on. Paul taught us how to survive the storms of life, and the three anchors we consider give us stability in the midst of the storms we face. Sometimes the storms are so severe in life that we experience shipwreck as things around us begin to fall apart. We need to know how to face these times. Not all storms result in things falling apart, but some do on occasion, and we need to be sure we are prepared. So sometimes they do. And again, I'll go back to this. You say, why would God allow that? Well, it could be a chastening to get our attention. It could be redirection in life. It could be, if you look at this right here, okay, don't lose sight of this, in this entire storm, in the shipwreck right here, don't lose sight of this. And I think this is the big one. You've got 276 men on the ship. Three of them, maybe four, know the Lord. Maybe the centurion because of how he treats Paul. But we're just guessing at that. So you got Luke, Aristarchus, and you got Paul, and then you have possibly the centurion. So that gives you 272 men on the ship. Do you know what happened in the middle of this? In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the shipwreck, that they got to witness the almighty power of God, in the grace of God, in the accuracy of God's word. So the storm that Paul and Luke and Aristarchus go through here, God is using to testify to these 272 men that are on the ship that don't know the Lord. So it's a huge part of testimony here. So sometimes, why do we have to go through it? Because there are other people involved besides us. And people watch us just like they watch Paul in this. Whenever this all started, when Paul sensed, you remember they're in October, they're sailing in October. Paul said, look, we can tell by the wind. I can tell by the wind, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, this is not a good idea. And he knew. He had been shipwrecked before. He'd been in the deep before. He knew the storm was coming. They wouldn't listen to him. The majority overrode him. That was in verse 12. The majority overrode him. And so he just backed up. He backed up. He never pushed the issue. He left it go because he was trusting God in that situation, and God used this, the storm, the 14 days in a storm, we're going to see that tonight, the shipwreck and all that. God would use that in the lives of those men that were on that boat with him. And so we need to remember that as we go through storms, and sometimes the storms will lead to a shipwreck where things fall apart, that God doesn't waste any of those. None of them are wasted. Okay, so here's where we're at tonight. Four anchors to survive a shipwreck. Watch 26 through 29. It says this: Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Okay, we're gonna all survive, but we're gonna be shipwrecked on an island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed as they drew near to some country. And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. That had been 120 feet deep. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it to be 15 fathoms. That'd be about 90 feet deep. So they know they're headed towards land. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. That's what I want to look at, those four anchors. Now, they threw out regular anchors. We're going to talk about other ones here. Watch what we have here. They've now been in the storm for 14 nights, two full weeks of being tossed by the storm. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat whenever the water is rough, but I just cannot even begin to imagine 14 days, 2 weeks in the middle of one of those storms. Let me go on. Sometimes storms can last for weeks or even years. Think about Joseph. He was given a dream from the Lord when he was 17. Then he went and stood and told his dad and his brothers about the dream, how they would all bow down to him, and they were furious, and they took him then, and they ended up sending him to Egypt. And so he was 17. Okay, 13 years would go by. It wouldn't be until he was 30 years old when he would finally arrive where God wanted him as he stood before Pharaoh. That was 13 years for Joseph. 13 stormy years for Joseph. No matter how long the storm lasts, we must keep in mind that God is in control of the wind and the waves. And he uses each and every day for his purpose. Again, I remind you that in Acts 27, in the midst of the storm, all hope that they should survive was taken away. But it was not a wasted journey by any means. Watch 27:20. Oh, I already read that, but I'll read it again. And when neither sun nor stars many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You notice all hope that we should be saved. Luke's in that. at that time. That's what Luke thinks. Hey, we're not going to make this. Watch this. The storm took away all confidence in their power to save themselves. Might I remind you that they were now right where they needed to be. They had been stripped of all human hope. They were now ready to trust in the mighty power of God. They were at the end of their rope. This is where God gave Paul the message of hope that all would survive. God often takes us through the storms to deepen our faith. He will allow us to try everything we can, and when we finally come to the end and have no more strength or resources, He will step in and demonstrate His power and wisdom. Sometimes we must be stripped of all self-dependence so that we will turn to Him. God often will allow storms to strengthen our faith, and that's what they're there for, to build us up. Watch 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. And Peter writes this to believers that were being persecuted under Nero. He says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." And I would say this, that's an understatement of what they were going through. Watch this. "That the trial of your faith," there Peter reveals what it is. All this persecution under Nero, being racked and thrown in the arena with wild animals, and some of them crucified and set on fire while they were still alive to light the imperial garden, and broiled and just unspeakable things that they did to him. All of this persecution, Peter says, this is a trial of your faith. This is to try your faith. Watch this. "Being much more precious than gold that perisheth." Faith is more valuable than gold. Gold will not carry you through a storm. Faith will carry you through from one end to the other. Watch this. "Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Here's an illustration. Watch this. Storms have proven to drive the roots of trees deeper into the ground, thus making them stronger as each storm passes by. If trees grew tall with no storms, their root system would be very shallow, and thus when a strong storm and would blow through, they would topple very easily. This is also true of our lives, in the lives of our families. And I remind you that because we often want to guard our families so that they don't have to go through them. Watch this. Storms are important. We want to shelter our children from the storms, but it's in the storms that they learn to trust in the power of God. We lose sight of that. There are lessons that you learn in storms that you will never learn anywhere else. And I will say this to you, and I've said it before. What you learn in a storm, you don't have to write it down in some journal to remember it. You will never forget it. You will never forget it because you learn it in a storm. You see the hand of God at work, and you catch these lessons whenever you come through the storms. And I could tell you things that happened years ago that I learned going through the valleys, going through the storms, whenever it was so difficult and so dark, and not knowing which way it was going to go. And God showed up in the middle of it and strengthened the faith to be able to get through onto the other side. And just the lessons that were learned in that. Look, watch this. Getting back to our text, they sounded, the water was 120 feet deep. The next time it was 90, and they were fearful of running aground, so they cast out four anchors. And I want to consider the four anchors that we can see here. Anchor number one that I see, abide in the ship. Watch 30 and 31, if you would. It says, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea," that would be the lifeboat, "under Keller, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.'" You got to stay in the ship, he says. You got to remain in. Okay, now, I say this on the paper. Verse 31 is very interesting because watch verse 22 back up there. Paul said this, and "now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship." Everybody's going to be saved. That's what Paul says. That's what God told him. Then you get down to 31. Everybody's going to be saved, but you got to stay in the ship. Watch what I have here. Paul made it very clear in verse 22 that there would be no loss of life. Then in verse 31, we see that all men had to stay in the ship and not take the lifeboat. These verses show clearly the responsibility of man. If the captain was a Calvinist, he would have said, it makes no difference if you stay on the ship or not. God's going to save us all. Paul makes it very clear that all would be saved, but they had to make the right choice to stay in the ship. If they're all going to be saved, but you got to make sure that you're in the will of God. You got to make sure you stay where you're supposed to be if you're going to survive this storm. Watch what I have for an application. If we're going to stand strong in the shipwrecks of life, we must abide in Jesus Christ. They had to abide in the ship. We got to abide in Jesus Christ in order to be strong in the storms. John 15, 1 through 5 says this. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. That's interesting, that we get purged as we go through life, because it's God's will that we bear fruit. We have to bear fruit. And so how do you, just like if you own fruit trees, or if you own if you own a grape arbor, the way to get fruit is to cut it back, because the fruit grows on new growth. So you cut things back, so whenever the new growth comes, then the fruit comes. The same thing in our lives. So sometimes it's painful to have things pruned back. He says this in verse 3, now you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So you and I, as we face the storms, and sometimes as much as we don't like it, the shipwrecks of life, when we get into some really difficult, hard situations, we need to abide in Christ. We need to be walking in fellowship with him, because he is the source of our strength. He's the source of our comfort. He is the one that will see us through the storm. He is the one that will take you by the hand and walk you through the storm and bring you from the ship to the shore. He's the one that will do that. So the closer we are to him, the better we handle the storms of life, the better we handle the shipwrecks. You get away from him, the storms come, the shipwrecks come, the next thing you know, you're in panic mode. What am I going to do? Where am I going to turn? Because, I will say this, because your relationship isn't what it ought to be. The more you know God, the more you know Jesus Christ, the more you know of him and his ways, the better you can trust him, and you learn more how he works, and you know that no matter what comes, he's still in control, just like right here. You look at this storm. God's in complete control of everything that's going on here. And we know that because of the message that he gave to Paul. Let me go back. Watch your paper now. It is our Lord that controls the storms. He's the one that controls them. Psalm 89, 8 and 9. Watch it. O Lord of hosts, who is strong, Lord, like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rollest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof rise, thou stillest them. God is the one that controls the storms. I don't know about you, but when the storms come into my life, I want to be with the one, I want to be close to the one that has his hand on the dial, that controls the wind, that controls the waves and the storms and the severity of the storm. I want to be close to him because he's the one that has full control of it. I don't know why Matthew come out like that, but anyhow, Matthew 8, 24 through 27 says this, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. That was Jesus. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's who we need to be walking close to. The one that is in control of the storms. that gives us the strength and the peace and the comfort in the middle of the storms to be able to endure them, because they're going to come. Sometimes God will stop them whenever we pray. Sometimes he'll take us around them. But sometimes, like here, it's right through the center and through the eye of the storm is where we go. Watch the next line. Let us abide or draw close in fellowship before the storms and the shipwreck comes. Don't wait until it comes. Get close now. Anchor number two. This one's important. Abide with others. Watch this. Along with staying on the ship, the men had to also stay together as they would work together. They had to work together to lighten the load on the ship. Watch verse 38, who would jump over there. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Remember, it was a wheat ship. Now, we talked about this, so I don't want to go too far into it. But that's a really good picture of how the storms of life change your perspective and your priorities. You got to understand, they're throwing the wheat out. They're throwing the paycheck out. If they get to Rome and there's no wheat, these guys on the ship, they don't get paid. The ones that are running the ship, they don't get paid. But it's come to the point now where those material things don't matter anymore. That doesn't matter. It's all about survival now. It's all about survival, and that's what the storms of life will do. They will get your priorities in the right order, so that top priority becomes your relationship with the Lord and spiritual matters. The other things come and they go. The material things, they come and they go in life all the time. But storms will get you where you need to be with the right focus. But anyhow, back to this, they had to stay on the ship. They had to stay on the ship, and they had to abide with the others. What's the application? This is something that we discussed on Sunday evening. It is not good for us as believers to be alone. Let me stop. Alone is no good. That's not the way we have been made. There's no strength in aloneness. There is no encouragement in aloneness. You can't help somebody if you are not with them. Somebody can't help you if you are not with them. To be separated is just not healthy for a believer. It's not. That's not the way God has ordained the church. That's not. And I know I say that over and over again, but that's the reality of it. When we are together, we are stronger. You feel more accountable whenever you are together with other believers. You get away from the group. You get away from the body of Christ, and you get weaker. The further away you get, the weaker you get. People that, I don't know if this is a good illustration or not, but I'll use it for what it is, but people that take their own lives do it alone most of the time. Alone, away from everybody else. They get away. We need to be with one another. Let me go back here. Watch this. We need one another. We certainly cannot help bear the burdens of others if we're not walking with them. Neither can anyone help us if we're not in fellowship with the body of Christ. The point we need to understand here is that there is strength when we are together with other believers. The Spirit bears our spirit will bear witness with others. The Holy Spirit bears witness with others that are in the body of Christ. There is a spiritual connection when we are together. Galatians 6:2, this is what we looked at Sunday night. Paul said this. This is talking about how the Spirit-filled believer lives a life of service as he walks in the Spirit. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. We can't do that if we're not together. We cannot do it. And it's about the other person. You see that? Bear ye one another's burdens. It's the selfish life does not work. We've got to be thinking of others. And so Hebrews 10:25 and 25, 24 and 25 says this, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is for believers to be together. I cannot emphasize that enough. Jesus said, where two or more gathered together, I'm in the midst. We get strength when we are together. We are accountable whenever we are together. We are comforted whenever we are together. We are encouraged whenever we are together. We are exhorted whenever we are together. We can help others. We can be helped. We need that. That's the way God made the body of Christ. That's the way he made it, and that's the way that he wants us to live together as a group. Fellowship one another with one another. That's what this was here. They got to remain in the ship. We've got to remain in fellowship with Christ. They had to abide in the ship. They abiding in the ship, they were there. They had to be there with the other people because they would all work together in the midst of this storm. That's the way the body of Christ is. We work together. Anchor number three is get the proper nutrition. Watch 33 through 38. Says this, and while day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. 14 days without eating on the ship, probably because of being seasick. Verse 34, wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. They also took some meat. And we were all in the ship 260 souls, 276. And when they had taken enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Back to your paper. These men had not eaten in almost 2 weeks, and that was most likely due to being seasick. Paul knew they needed strength and they needed to be refreshed, so he strongly encouraged them to eat before the shipwreck. They were going to have to put forth effort to be able to get to the shore, as you'll see here at the end of this. Here's the application. It is vital for you and me to feed upon the Word of God before the shipwrecks ever happen. If you wait until things fall apart, we can be sure we will not be able to focus because our minds will be consumed with the shipwreck. The Word of God needs to be in our hearts before things begin to collapse around us. Might the words of the psalmist be our words? One of my favorite passages, Psalm 119, 97 through 105. He says, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. See what the Word of God does for us? Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word, watch this verse, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me tell you something, in the storms and in the shipwrecks of life, sometimes it's pretty dark. You know that. You've been there. Sometimes it's pretty dark, and you need light. The light comes from the Word of God. Anchor number four, then I'll go over these at the end. Stay committed to God's will. Watch 32. Back up to verse 32 again. It says this. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, let her fall off. That was the lifeboat. Remember, they were going to get in the lifeboat, and Paul said, no, you get in the lifeboat, you're not going to live. You got to stay on the ship, or you're not going to live. So here, you see what they do? They cut the lifeboat off, and they let it fall. They get rid of the lifeboat. Jump down to verse 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, remember they threw out four anchors, now they take them up, they committed themselves. That's the word I wanted to focus on there. They committed themselves. They're committed now unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands, that would be the bands on the oars, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Back to your paper. Watch this. The men cut the lifeboat loose and were committed to the sea just as Paul had advised. Cutting the lifeboat loose was giving up that which was forbidden. Application. If you're going to endure the shipwrecks, we must be committed to the will and the word of God. We must trust him as he leads us. Any backup plans must be cut loose, because if we have them, we will fall back upon them. I don't know, it's been a while since we looked at it, but remember in Genesis chapter 12, whenever Abram got to Canaan, and whenever he arrived in Canaan, he endured a very severe famine. And so you remember what he did. He went down to Egypt and he told Sarai, he said, look, when we go down here, because you're so beautiful, you tell them that you're my sister. And so that's what he did. They went down there and we know the whole story. He got caught down there and they ended up getting kicked out of Egypt. He got kicked out of the world. That's pretty shameful for a man of God to get kicked out of the world. A little bit later, he does the same thing. He does the same thing and he gets caught. And whenever he gets asked why he did that, here's something that he said. He said, before I left my father's house, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, we came up with a plan. The plan was this, that anytime we encountered a dangerous situation, Sarah would always say that she was my sister, so that I wouldn't get killed, so that they could take her. So I give you that to help you to understand that whenever he left his father's house, he left with a backup plan. He had a backup plan, and whenever things got tight, that's and dangerous, that's exactly where he went. I love what these guys do here in verse 32. They cut the ropes of the lifeboat. Paul said, don't get in a lifeboat. You get in a lifeboat, you're not going to live. They said, you know what? We're going to take the temptation away. We're just going to cut the boat loose and we're going to let it go. That way nobody can get in that boat. Listen, as we face the storms and the shipwrecks, we have to be committed to the will and to the word of God. We don't need a backup plan. You don't need a backup plan. You be committed to what God wants you to do and to follow God. And I can assure you this, he'll bring you through the storm and he'll bring you through the shipwreck. He will do that. I remember back in 2010, I was still doing the construction work, and we were building the Lewistown School. And it was in the winter time, and I said to my wife, before we're leading up to this, I said, you know, when January comes, I'm done. I'm quitting. No more construction work. I said, the church is getting too big. Can't do both. So I'm not going to do that anymore. So I went to my cousin who owned the company, Showalter Masonry, that I was working for. And I said to him, I said, hey, just a heads up. I said, I know a lot of guys don't give you a notice. I'm going to give you a month's notice that in a month I'm done. I'm finished. I said, I'm done. I'm going to be full time at the church. And he said, I understand that. He said, but I want to say something to you. He said, anytime you want to come back, you give me a phone call. I said, listen, if that phone rings and it's my number on a caller ID, don't you dare answer it. Don't you dare. Cause I said, I don't want a backup. I don't want a backup plan. I don't want that. Cause I said, I know things are going to be tough at times, and there's going to be that temptation to go back and to fall back on that backup plan. I said, I don't want that. So I said, if I call you, say, no, you cannot have a job. You're done. You quit. You're finished. I said, don't you dare give it back to me. Don't you dare. And don't you think there weren't times when I thought about picking up the phone, but I wouldn't do that. Those days are over now, of thinking about picking up the phone and calling back. But the point being this, we don't need a backup plan. You don't need one. All we need to be is committed to the will of God and to the word of God. And I can assure you this, we will get through the storms of life. You will get through the storms of life. Conclusion. Watch 41 through 44. Let me read these. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Let me say this. I didn't put this in the notes, but let me say, do you see where Satan shows up? Right in the middle of the storm. You say, well, how do you know that's Satan? Because you have the Apostle Paul who is carrying the gospel to Rome, where it will then go out into the rest of the world. Don't you think he didn't want to stop Paul from getting to Rome? So he's, look who he's working through. He's working through the soldiers, but they want to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. We can't let any of them get away. Watch the next verse. Here he is again. But the centurion, remember, we met him right in the beginning. He gave Paul permission to get off the ship to go to a church that was in a house to be refreshed with other believers. That was completely unheard of. And here, watch this. Watch what he does. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, and I said, maybe Paul won this guy to the Lord. I don't know. Maybe there were four on the ship that were saved. I don't know. The Romans could certainly pick men of character for centurions. Because you go through the Bible and you see centurions that stand out. They weren't very good at picking emperors, but they could pick centurions. Watch this. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. In other words, no, he's not going to let them kill him. And commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, someone boards. Someone broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all. See that? All safe to land. Not one of them was lost. Not one of them. Watch the last paragraph. All the men arrived safely on the shore, and each in a different way. That's interesting. Some were swimmers. Others needed something to assist them. This is a reminder that we do not all survive the shipwrecks the same way. God gets some through the wreckage by one means and some by another means. But it is each by following the will and the word of God. When the men reached ashore, they could only praise the Lord, for they were powerless in the storm. Because of the storm and the shipwreck, 276 men witnessed the power of God, and God would show them more of his power and faithfulness by the time they reached Rome. So, if nothing else from the storm, those 272 other people or 273 other people were able to see the hand of God. That was worth it all. That was worth it all. So how do we survive a shipwreck? Real quick, stay in the ship. Stay in fellowship with Christ. Stay with others. Stay in fellowship with other believers. Stay nourished. Make sure you have a steady diet of the Word of God and stay committed. Stay true to the Word of God. Don't go to a backup plan. If there's something that God says is forbidden, cut it loose. Like the lifeboat, cut it loose. You don't need it. Stay committed. Ride it out. Trust God in the middle. You know, I'll say this. If I'd have been on that ship, I probably wouldn't have done very well. Number one, I get seasick real easy. I get seasick real easy. I think if I drove by the ocean at the wrong time, I'd get sick just looking at the waves. So to be on that boat for 2 weeks, there wouldn't have been much left of me. I can tell you that right now. I've been in those situations and tried to take Dramamine, you know, after you're already sick, and Dramamine comes out of you like a BB coming out of a BB gun. You know, just anyhow. But so if I'd have been there, you know, and typical of any of us in the middle of a storm, what do we want to do? We want to try to control the whole thing. We want to try to control the whole thing. And so what we end up doing, we end up getting in God's way. We end up getting in God's way instead of being like Paul and just backing up and saying, okay, I gave you my advice in the beginning. It wasn't a good idea to sail in this time of the year into these waters. It wasn't a good idea. We should not have went, but we did go. And so I'm going to back up, and I'm going to let God do what he's going to do. And I'm going to let him bring this storm. I couldn't stop it anyhow. And if we're going to be shipwrecked, we're going to be shipwrecked. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to be committed to him. Whatever he tells us, that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to let him glorify himself in the middle of that. That's the way we need to handle the storms and the shipwrecks. Because, listen, it's not always just about us, but it's about people around us that are watching, that need to see the power of God. And sometimes the way it's seen is whenever they watch you and I go through circumstances like this. How do you handle it? How do you deal with it? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for that chapter. So many. We've been in there for multiple weeks, 3-4 weeks. And Lord, we've learned so many things from this storm that you brought. And now here at the end, even the shipwreck and getting them all to shore safely. And Father, forgive us, because there have been many times when all of us, Lord, we've had a backup plan for the storms. Instead of trusting you, we've had some kind of lifeboat hanging around that we thought was a lifeboat. And Lord, we would resort to that instead of just trusting you in the midst of the storms. Father, help us from this story, from this text here, to learn to trust you, to surrender to you, to know that you are in full control, that you can bring us through any storm, you can bring us through any shipwreck. And Father, help us to understand too that we all don't come through the same way, just like these guys. Some were on board, some were on anything that would float, some could swim. You bring everybody through in a different way, but it's all for your honor and your glory. Here in this text, all these men got to see your power, because every single one of them, that they should have all died, but they all made it safely to the shore, all because of you. Father, might we never lose sight of the fact that you're working through us to testify to other people. Take us home safely. Bring us back on Sunday ready to be taught by the Spirit. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.